It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And Mike is on assignment on this post Independence Day Saturday. Probably going to go assign myself to go snapper fishing here shortly as well. Okay, a lot to do on today's show, and our buddy Jim Cox is going to stop by to talk about the Blue Marlin Grand Championship, and that's coming up next weekend. What a show it is to be able to watch the best of the billfishing world do their thing right here in our own backyard. We'll talk about that with Jim coming up in just a little bit. Plus, I want to start off the show and talk about some hunting. I know, right? It's the middle of the summer that I'm talking about hunting, but as of this week, the seasons and bag limits for the state of Alabama are finally up and out. And not a whole bunch of changes. Well, maybe not. There are some big changes, but we'll get specific here. The big change, I would imagine, for everybody is the change in baiting laws in the state of Alabama. Of course, it is now the law. You can have the stamp, the baiting stamp, and bait all you want. You can call it supplemental feeding. You can call it baiting. It's now legal in the state if you have one of these stamps. Now, that's something we talked about a bunch through the spring and before the Conservation Advisory Board had met on that. And then afterwards, going ahead with the change there. So that is, by the way, though, heads up. If you're going to do this, you know, you want to run right out now and say, man, I'm going to get my baiting stamp before anything else happens, and I'm going to do that first. Remember, you're going to have to renew that on the license year. So if you plan to be, you know, save some money, you're not hunting this time of year, you want to save the money, make sure to buy your baiting stamp when you buy your renewed hunting license this year, or you'll be paying for it twice in short order. All right, a few changes here. So I'm looking at regulations for the state of Alabama, and they have just put up the 2019-2020 deer season. That's what's been posted. Now, I kind of run through this, and not a big change that I've seen, maybe just a shifting of dates because of the calendar. What we see as of this week. All right. So archery season, bow and arrow, archery season in zone A. Remember now, if you've got to break this down, we have three zones in the state. We're down to zone B. The rest of the state, with the exception of four counties or so in north central Alabama, is zone C. But we're in zone B. So zone A, if you're north of 82 up there, that area, that's October 15th for the start of bow season and closing, running through February 10th. The end, it's just, the dates almost line up exactly with last year. Also, the rifle season to start on the 23rd everywhere across the state. But bow season in Zone A starts on the 15th. In Zone B, where we are down here in this neck of the woods, this is the change that's been of the last couple of years. Well, archery season, bow season starts on the 15th. We don't shoot does until the 25th of October. So that's the same as last year as well. So Zone A, B, and C, all starting October 15th. The difference is, for those of us in Zone B, we don't start shooting does till 10 days into the season. Of course, that argument is made because if you have the mean gestation period for the does, in other words, we're showing that the rut is later in our neck of the woods, therefore we end on February 10th, not the end of January like it used to be years ago. Well, why would you be shooting does? Because they could, the better chance of them still being wet and being with fawns, you wait 10 days. I've talked to biologists, actually said they would have liked to seen that date moved even further into the month of November, but the politics overdid that. So, so there's your changes. Really nothing of note here other than the baiting issue. So, November 23rd, that is the start of rifle season. October 15th, the start of bow season, just with the exception in Zone B down here in the majority of South Alabama, we are 15th through the 25th, bucks only, same as it's been. One thing I think is pretty interesting that was added to the registry, and I can't, maybe it was last year, I got to find out more from the state, but I paid attention to it this year. During what is the muzzleloader season. And I know most of us are like, what the heck, muzzleloader season? We have, yeah. So there's a muzzleloader season in the week leading into rifle season. It's like 4 days or so. You went to, yeah, I think it's 4 days. November 18th through the 22nd. So November 18th through the 22nd. That's our muzzleloader season, if you haven't taken part in that before. But it's also not just muzzleloader season in the state of Alabama. It's also air rifle. And I don't know if you've looked at some of the changes out there. When I think air rifle, I think, you know, Crossman 760. They're breaking out the Daisy. Even the Sheridan, right? Or who else made one? Sheridan, Benjamin, right? Benjamin made one. Beeman. Well, they've gotten these air rifles so high tech that people are shooting big game with them. And I guess so, therefore, they have amended the language in the state of Alabama. You can use an air rifle, and actually has its own season. You can get a step up on rifle season. So during the week leading into rifle season, when you could be shooting a muzzleloader in the state, which has never really been much of a thing here, air rifles are legal in the state of Alabama. So that's one thing noted there. And then the baiting thing. So the biggest change we have this year coming is this baiting stamp. And remember, here's how it works. Everybody who is hunting over bait has got to have a baiting license. That means my younger children, if I was going to hunt over bait and my younger children were going to hunt with me, even though they're both below the age of having to have a hunting license in the state of Alabama, they would have to have this baiting stamp. I think it ends up being $15, $16 a stamp. So I would have to have one, and if the children with me were hunting as well, they would have to have one. Also, you're on your own property. You know, if you don't have to have a hunting license, you only hunt on your own property. You still have to have a baiting stamp. And if you're over 65 and don't have to have your aged out of having a hunting license in the state of Alabama, you still have to have that special stamp to bait. So that is one of the biggest changes going into season this year. Other than that, it looks like everything else that they have published so far, like they've really just given us the breakdown for deer season. I have not seen even a tentative here on the dove season, but I gotta imagine dove season north and south is going to line up pretty much with where it did last year, as would the blue-wing teal season in September, some of those early bird seasons. And then we'll look forward when the latest information comes out on the projected turkey season dates. There have been some changes in other parts of the state, not down here, of how they were doing that in certain zones. We'll see what the state does with it this year. All right. Also on the hunting front, before we dive into talking fishing, because we've got some snapper to talk about. Like I said, we've got some bill fishing to talk about with Jim Cox. I do want to talk about a little bit more on the hunting front here, and a little experiment that I've been conducting, and I'll give you more information next week. Mike and I will talk about it, but I mentioned, I think it was last week's show or the week before, that I'm testing some different cellular trail cameras right now. And I've been running the SpyPoint camera, which takes pretty good pictures, seems pretty reliable to me. And also now, just got in and did the unboxing of the CuddyLink trail camera system. It is a system where you have, the one I have has four total cameras. Now you can add, and I'll get to it on next week's show, you can add up to, I think, 16 total cameras. But one camera is a cellular-enabled camera, okay? And it links to these three other cameras. Now they're within a quarter mile, it says, in the woods, as much as a mile distance in connection in open ground. We don't have a lot of open ground here, so it's about a quarter. I tested it the other day. About a quarter mile is the max I'm getting connection. But you have a main send unit, and I found a place on the property where I get a decent cellular signal. Okay, that's the main. There's one main camera, and that main camera also serves as a camera. It takes its own pictures, but it's a cellular-enabled camera. With this CuddyLink system, the other three cameras that I got in this set are then in a daisy chain fashion linked at quarter mile intervals or less, getting back to the main camera. So you could have them, if you had a place in the middle of your property where you're hunting, you're lucky enough to have a great cellular connection there, big hill or something, you have the main camera there, and then you have at quarter mile like spokes, right? Like a triangle, like three different ways you would have those cameras out in a circumference of no more than a quarter mile, and they could feed back to the main camera. Or in the situation like I'm working on right now, I have the daisy chain effect. In other words, here's the main camera. Then within a quarter mile, I have one of these, what they call remote cameras. And then within a quarter mile of that remote camera, you have yet another remote camera. And then a quarter mile beyond, you have another one. So they can link together, get back to the main camera. Not gotten pictures yet, but hopefully by next week's show I will, and we'll start talking about that in depth too. As we start talking about cellular trail, KM technology, as what's new for 2019, we'll continue that conversation right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We'll talk some blue water fishing and some tournaments with Jim Cox. It's coming up next right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along on this post-Independence Day Saturday. Looking forward already to next weekend because I'll let him answer it. I always say the Super Bowl of big game fishing right here in our own backyard, the Blue Marlin Grand Championship back at the Wharf in Orange Beach, and more on that with our buddy Jim Cox. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Sean. How are you this morning?
I'm great, and it's like one of those signs of summer, man, when the tournament happens. How many years is it now for the Grand Championship?
Yeah, this will be our eighth year. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. We were together. It's hard to believe that this will be number eight, but it keeps coming at us every year. And you know, you look at the calendar, it's 4th of July, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, here it is. It's upon us once again.
Yeah, it's, you know, I say the Super Bowl, but, I mean, the biggest show in sport fishing for sure.
So yeah, but, you know, we kind of coined it early on the greatest show in sport fishing, and that kind of stuck. And then we've had a bunch of people who refer to it as the Super Bowl of sport fishing. As the marketing guy, I would never want to try to use an NFL term because
right now we're going to get fined. I'll get a cease and desist letter here at the station. I know.
We don't need Mr. Goodell coming after us for trademark infringement. But no, but it is all about the show, and it's about it works both ways. It's about the crowd that shows up and how much they love it, and then the teams love the reception they get when they weigh in the fish on Main Street at the Wharf. Of course, the venue is so special, but you know, we're lucky that we have so many people down in the Orange Beach area, you know, in July, so they want to come out. There's so many kids' baseball tournaments going on. So you got families from all over the Southeast playing travel baseball. You got people who schedule their vacations around it. So it's really the crowds are always really big, and that really makes it a special event, not just for the teams fishing, but also for the spectators. It's, you know, it's kind of hard for a lot of people to grasp that fish weigh-ins are a great spectator sport, but it really is.
Yeah, because you put the Jim Cox touch on it, and you've made it into the spectacle it is. I mean, the fish are the stars. You're watching the giant fish come to the scales, and you got the drama, the high drama of these fish coming in, and you've led up to this, and you've been telling us in the crowd, here's this fish is coming in. Could it be enough? But then just the setting there, and you know, the pomp and circumstance, and the showbiz sizzle with it. It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, it's, you know, the teams talk about, they feel like they're, you know, at a big sporting event, or they feel like a rock star walking out on stage. We've got, you know, the two huge LED jumbotrons. We've got the flaming marlins that we added last year because, you know, everybody likes fire. Right?
Yeah, so, flaming marlin's pretty cool.
And we've added another big flame this year that it actually goes almost, it looks like it goes as high as the condo, so... it's really a great show, and of course there's going to be, you know, we'll know on Thursday, but it's probably going to be $1.8 to maybe close to $2 million in money on the line. We'll be 70-ish boats, give or take five, I would say. You always have some late mechanical issues or something like that, but it is the show. That's what we really pride ourselves on. We don't have the most boats to fish the tournaments. Like maybe they do in Biloxi or somewhere, but we really focus on the show, and that's what everybody loves and why they come here. And like you said, I mean, where else are you weighing a fish on basically Main Street? I mean, it is right. Main Street at the Wharf, but you know, you got shops, retail, you got people sitting out having dinner at Bellagio outside, and while they're having a nice seared pork chop, they're looking, it's like, well, there's a 180-pound tuna hanging just, you know, 42 feet from me. It really is a cool venue there at the Wharf.
Yeah, and it's it's very friendly to the people that want to come look at this. It's very easy to get into. The structure's built, I mean, for fans, for onlookers here, for people that are hardcore fishing folks to, I mean, there's people come out and look at this that maybe never even been on a boat before in their life, but I mean, it's something to see.
Oh, no question. And you know, the wharf has concerts that has 10,000 people at it, so we're kind of set up there for parking and amenities and those things. There's no cost to get in, and we always try to put the big marlin on a cart to get him out into the crowd so that especially the kids can get up close and personal and look at a marlin and touch the underside of a bill and, you know, kind of learn about the fish. And who knows, maybe there's a kid who's sparks some interest in marine biology or something when he gets up and close personal with these big fish. But it is rare. Even if you do fish a lot, you don't get to see some of these fish on a regular basis. And of course, a lot of folks who come down from out of town, they've never been experienced fish like this or the team. So it's really, it really is a great event. And then because we're just a little on the crazy side, Kelly Finley and I do it live on TV for 3 hours because we're the only tournament in the country that does the weigh-ins on television. Because I know why, because it's as you know, it's a very much a live high wire act there. And, but we do them live on TV as well. So that adds just a little more fun to it.
Yeah. And let's talk about this. Give me the ultimate insider's perspective on, I know you'd like us to be there at all hours, standing around, but I kind of like if I'm planning, you know, because people go, okay, I'm going to stop by Blue Marlin Grand Championship over the weekend, and then we're going to do other things, and we'll come back. When should we be there? When's the best time?
Yeah, so Friday night, if someone has a Blue Marlin, they're going to bring in. We'll weigh it on Friday night, and we'll have a 2-hour weigh in on Friday night. And the boats are only going to come in if they have a Blue Marlin. But then on Saturday, everybody's got to be in by 5. And so our weigh-ins are from 5 to 9 on Saturday night. And Saturday night is the night. That's when you want to be there. That's when the big show is, and everybody has to be in. We'll weigh all the fish. We'll know who wins the tournament. But we're also streaming it online. But also, Sean, if you're hanging at Dolphin Island on the weekend, you're like, wow, I'd really like to see that Blue Marlin Grand Championship. But you're not gonna drive around from Dolphin Island to Orange Beach to watch the weigh-in, so that's why we put it on TV. It's on NBC. It's on in Nashville. It's on in Birmingham and Panama City. So we're all across the Southeast. So we really like to show off what we do here at the Wharf and in Alabama at Orange Beach. So you can stream it online at BlueMarlinGrandChampionship.com. We'll be on our Facebook page or live on TV if you can't get out and see us. But it's it's something. However you consume us, we're happy to have you.
I'm talking to Jim Cox with the Blue Marlin Grand Championship coming this coming weekend to the Wharf. And let's talk a bit about fishing so far this summer in the blue water. What can you tell us? I mean, we had talked earlier in the year, maybe in May. How was June for fishing?
It was good. You know, what's kind of plagued some of the tournaments so far this year has been rough weather during tournament weekends. And that's just luck of the draw, how that goes. So, but other than that, you know, we've had good fish get weighed in. The dolphin have been strong this year, which is nice to see those coming back. And the tuna have been around. I know we've talked about that a little bit, maybe being concerned, but we had a 180-pound tuna weighed in during our tournament, our all release tournament we had a few weeks back. So the fishing's been good, and I think that because these teams that fish Blue Marlin Grand Championship and some of these other tournaments, they're pros at what they do. It's like, you know, you grow up fishing on a big lake, bass fishing your whole life, and you think you're pretty good or you're like struggling, and then Bassmaster comes to town and these guys they're like, well, how did they catch all these fish this year? It's kind of the same, you know, they're professionals at what they do, and that's what these teams and captains are. So they're going to find the fish. They're going to go to where they have to find the fish, and that's it. And you know, if we only weighed in one blue marlin in the tournament, I'd be fine with that. And we had a bunch of catch and release money as well. But the one thing that we just really would love to see is, you know, there's never been a grander caught from Alabama. Louisiana's got one, Mississippi's got one, Florida's got one, and we're sitting here at just 845 pounds. So if we always tell somebody, if we're going to catch a grander, let's do it during the greatest show in sport fishing. Let's do it at the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. So that's what we're always hoping for when this tournament rolls around.
Well, and this is it's almost a semantic thing because this could happen at any point. Cause if people don't follow this kind of stuff, explain. I mean, you're talking about a grander, but it's not like I mean, you're not blue marlin fishing in state waters. I mean, we're all fishing the same waters. It's just where you're coming back to.
Exactly. It'd be nice if we could do that. yeah, it's where you leave from, and you have to leave from that port and not make landfall anywhere else. So you couldn't leave Alabama, go to Venice, and get more fuel, and then come back. That would be a Louisiana caught fish at that point. So if you leave out of Perdido Pass or Mobile Bay and you go out there and you catch your fish wherever you catch in the Gulf, and you come back in to Perdido Bay or Perdido Pass or Mobile Bay, then it would be an Alabama caught fish. But you're right, all those rigs that these guys are fishing on, we're all fishing the same water. It's just where you leave and where you come back from.
Hey, Jim, let's talk about a couple of the species, not blue marlin that you mentioned there. Number one, dolphin. So you're talking about the dolphin coming back. It has been kind of a weird thing. I don't spend the time in the blue water you do, but it seems like we have, maybe boom and bust is not the right, or maybe it is the right term, or we have really strong year and year classes on dolphin or mahi-mahi, so people understand we're talking about the fish, and years that aren't as good. Is it cyclical, or is there something else to it? What do you think's going on that has this year being a lot better?
Yeah, I think a big part of this year. So we have more sargassum grass in the Gulf this year than anybody's seen in a long, long time. So there are huge weed lines. There's huge patches of grass out offshore, and even some pushing in close inshore. And so I think because there's been so much grass and too much for a lot of guys' preference, that it's tough to live bait, or you're constantly pulling scattered grass off your lures. I just think when you have that much grass around, then you're going to find dolphin. I mean, they're always going to be with those big patches of grass. And I think that grass is always out there in the Gulf, but instead of being, 80 to 100 miles offshore, maybe a lot of times, or other years, it's 200 miles out there, or 300 or 400 miles.
So it's not as much a question about the population of dolphin. It's about the habitat.
Yeah, I think that is. And there was, because they, and dolphin only live about 4 years. And so, they eat and reproduce. That's what they do. And I think a dolphin is able to start reproducing in about 6 months. So, those things grow, they'll grow multiple inches in a week and put on pounds. So they're very fast growers. And there was a lot of concern, is a species like that, was it more susceptible to something with the oil spill when that happened because of, they only live so long in that. So I think everybody feels we're in good shape after that really we didn't suffer any long-term issues with dolphins. So I do think that's it. It's just when you find them in that around the grass, and when we have a lot of grass like this year, we seem to find a lot of dolphins.
And the other species you mentioned, tuna, basically even though we do have we have a good population of blackfin and occasional discussion of bluefin, like that amazing one from earlier this year. But you look at yellowfin tuna, for example. The question about it, I think what I'm hearing is not the question of the big ones. You're talking about that 180, and you yourself have caught some monster yellowfin tuna, but it's the smaller ones. Is it that the smaller ones are not present in the population, or they just don't show up at the same places we're catching the big ones? Do you hear people talking about that? They have any idea?
Yeah, I think that's what everybody's trying to kind of figure out right now. And I think, we talked about this before. There's now 50 or 60 charter boats out of Venice that pretty much exclusively target tuna, and tunas are found. You certainly find tunas in open water, but if you're a charter boat, you can't afford to go spend your day searching open water really for tunas when you've got all those rigs around you. So I don't know if it's a fishing pressure thing, Sean, that one of those rigs over there off the mouth of the river and then coming back this way have really put a lot of pressure on the tunas. But you're right. I mean, the 40, 50, 60 pound
right.
Yellowfin that we all used to, for most of us, if you catch one of those, that's a great trip. I'd take a 40 pound yellowfin anytime I tried to go tuna fishing. But that's what that's what everybody's trying to figure out a little bit here is, you know, what's going on with the tuna population? Why aren't we seeing the numbers that we used to? We do see the big ones. And again, part of that is you've got really good fishermen fishing in these tournaments, but that's something that's going to be, is something that's being discussed by, a lot of folks right now trying to figure out where and what's going on with the tuna population. Has it just, is it a fishing pressure thing around, around the rigs and like anything else? Certainly our boats today can get to more rigs and, more of those boats can get to the same rig. So there's no doubt there's more fishing pressure on tuna than there's been in the past. But I know some people are very concerned with what the population of yellowfin tuna is like in the Gulf of Mexico.
Hey, he's just joining us talking to Jim Cox. And we actually, I got him off on this bent, but we were talking about what's coming up this weekend at the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. So people just tuning in, once again, remind them about when to be there, what they're going to see, all the important information.
Yeah, so first thing like on Thursday is really cool. So the boats leave the wharf at 11 o'clock. And so if you're around Orange Beach and the teams can go either way, they can go out Mobile Bay, which a lot of them do, or they can go all the way around and go out Perdido Pass. So if you're around Orange Beach on Thursday, you know, you'll see lots of cars pulled over on Canal Road and people have signs for their favorite team. Just to watch the parade of sport fishing boats leave is the first really cool thing at the tournament. You know, to see 30 or 40 boats pass lined up and even out, that's real impressive.
Yeah, it is.
And so then on our weigh-ins are Friday night and Saturday night. Friday night from 6 until 8, and that's only if somebody's going to bring in a blue marlin. And we'll know. We'll let you know on social media. I'll be all over that. But then Saturday from 5 to 9, that's the big weigh-ins. That's when everybody's got to be in, right there on Main Street at the wharf. We'll stream it live. We'll be on NBC. Kelly and I are doing the show, as we said. And just mention one quick thing about Kelly. Back when she was at NBC and we did this for the first time on TV, the GM over there said, hey, Kelly will be really good to co-host with you. I said, okay. So Kelly comes in, someone who did not know anything about big game fishing because she was still pretty new to this area. And it's a pretty specific thing to know about.
Yeah, there's not a lot of that in Detroit.
Yeah, right, or just anywhere even. I mean, how many people really know a lot about it even that live down here?
It's true.
Specific, but I've never seen someone who got put in a situation and just a television situation and just worked so hard to know what was going on, have a good understanding of what we're doing, learn about it, say, I want to get on boats, I want to see what they're doing, I want to learn. I mean, she's such a pro, and for her to be a part of our broadcast is a huge part of what we do, and she really, it's not an easy crowd to break into for anyone. It's not an easy sport to grasp. But she's done it since day one, and she's a dang pro. And we love, I know you love having her, but we love having her for the few days we have her as well.
That's right. So yeah, when she's not around here this coming weekend, you can see her on TV with Jim. All right, and as we get closer, you know, Friday you said if one comes in, give me a call too here on the on my weekday show,
sure.
And we'll give people a heads up on that.
We will. We'll do it. Thanks, my friend, and hopefully we see everybody down at the wharf this weekend.
Great stuff. Jim Cox, and we are talking about the Blue Marlin Grand Championship this coming weekend. You want to check that out? You want to check that out. The greatest show in sport fishing. They call it that for a reason. All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. It's, just about a week and a half away from finding out who got drawn for Gator season 2019. And now Alabama has added, we've added new zones, but here in our area, two actual zones. The old trusty Mobile Tensaw Delta Zone, but now a coastal zone, too, for gator tags. We'll talk about that a lot more when we come back. All right, a big thank you to Jim Cox. Blue Marlin Grand Championship coming this coming weekend. Also, heading towards the planet's biggest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, of course, this coming weekend. The kids get to fish. Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. That's going to be going on Saturday. So that's Saturday at Dolphin Island at, of course, the rodeo site. That's the 13th. So you got that going on. And, of course, the next weekend, actually even before that, the next Friday, Friday the 19th, starts the 86th Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. 86 years of this. Actually, a couple years off over the years for we had the oil spill year. We had a couple hurricanes. But other than that, they've been doing it for, I mean, pretty soon we'll be looking at 100 years of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. An amazing, amazing feat for the JCs. All right. By the way, too, if you go to their website, adsfr.com, you can check out any details you need. There are some changes here, some changes in the way things are done. Number one, some of the big ones I noticed in talking to Corey Quint with the JCs for the rodeo, the sign out thing is kind of a big deal here, where you used to have to check in and check out if you're in some of like the big game jackpots or those kind of things. You had to check out if you're in I think Fish and Tarpon and all that. You had to check out on Thursday. You know, they had that meeting there after the Liars contest. Now you don't have to do it that way. Now you can get the details on that, but you could if you want to fish from wherever. You don't have to come to Dolphin. I would encourage you to come to the Liars Contest and enjoy Dolphin Island, but you don't have to before you get started fishing. So those are some of the changes that are out there. Shark is not a category this year. I tell you, there's some categories, though, that were new, that were filling in for other categories. You check out the lineup here. Some interesting things, like they always do. And the jackpots and the prizes and the giveaways and the just the random drawing. You have that going on, of course, in the overall tickets, but also in the Speckled Trout Jackpot and others. So you check out the details and the money. Plus, the other big thing that stood out to me is if you're in the if you're going to do jackpot for Red Snapper, right? You're in the Crane Works Red Snapper Jackpot, then you got to get your own ticket, which is actually pretty good. So you have your own, get your own jackpot ticket. It used to be you had a boat ticket, right? But I don't know about you, but how many times have, I know many times for me, I can fish with this person on Friday and somebody else on Saturday, maybe even somebody else on Sunday. And that's a problem because when you have a boat ticket for jackpot, then it doesn't move with you. The Crane Works Red Snapper Jackpot now has a, it's a $50 jackpot ticket per person, but it moves with you. So you can fish on, you know, with this crew on Friday, another crew on Saturday, another crew on Sunday, and still has the ability to win the big money. But yeah, instead of having, so everybody on your boat would have their own jackpot ticket is how that works. So those details on their website, adsfr.com. And coming up next week, of course, we're talking at length about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. But check out the website, check out any of the rule changes, and we'll get those. If you got questions, you can always email them to me, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com, and we'll get those questions answered by the rodeo folks, the people in the know. All right, I mentioned alligator season. I want to hit this pretty quickly here because speaking of changes out there, which, let me remind you, we only have, what, it's till the 10th? Yeah, I think they announced the draw on the 10th, so you just got a couple more days now to get your name in for this year's alligator hunting season. Remember, it's and one of the changes here, it's a draw, right? You put your name in once per zone in the state, and then it's a lottery system. And if you're drawing, it used to be you could buy multiple entries to get in. It's not that way anymore. You can only buy one entry into this lottery per zone. But they're doing something very similar to what happens with Western big game hunting. Now, if you don't get drawn, you build a preference point. Okay, and it works this way. In year one, you put in for an alligator hunt. You don't get drawn for that hunt. Well, in year two, they put you in twice. Okay, if you don't get drawn that year, in year three, you get put in three times. Your name, you start tripling, quadrupling, quintupling the number of entries in it. So the formula is if you wait long enough, you'll get drawn. Unless you're the world's unluckiest person. But I can't imagine, as time goes on, you have more entries into it, and therefore you have a better chance of getting drawn versus the old system where just people would buy up as many lottery entries as they could. And I think this is a lot more equitable way to use the resource of alligator hunting around here. So, yeah, you have, there was a while there that I said, you know, I'm not even going to do this anymore on the alligator hunts because I'm not going to go. I buy one entry, and there's people I know they're spending $2,000-$3,000 in entries. It just was not that big a deal to me. And this system that was implemented a few years ago under Director Chuck Sykes is a lot better system. A lot better system out there, and it gives you a better chance of getting drawn. All right, so I want to and kind of add the new information here, and then we'll circle back maybe some of the things that are the same. The one that caught my attention is this coastal zone. So in the zones for alligator hunting in the state of Alabama. Number one, the West Central Zone, private and public waters in Monroe County, north of 84, Wilcox and Dallas counties, which I think actually still holds the record for the biggest alligator in the state, maybe the biggest alligator killed in the nation, the one that was killed up on Miller's Ferry. Then you have the Lake Eufaula Zone. That's public Alabama state public waters in the in Lake Eufaula and the navigable tributaries south of Highway 208, Omaha Bridge, excluding the Eufaula National Wildlife Refuge, which they shouldn't because there's probably some big gators in there. Southwest Zone. Now, that's the one that the original. That's us down here in the Mobile-Tensaw Delta. And that is now had in addition, the coastal zone. Okay. The coastal zone is an area. Here's how they describe it. Coastal. Where it's area south of I-10. Yeah, there it is. The hunt zone. Okay, for our area, you had the first hunt zone in Baldwin and Mobile counties north of I-10 and portions of Washington, Clark, and Monroe counties. So that was the old the old standby, Mobile-Tensaw Delta one. Second hunt zone will be in Mobile and Baldwin counties south of I-10. Okay, so south of I-10, as you think about Dog River, Fowl River, Fish River. Down, there have been some big gators down at Oyster Bay, big gators down around Dolphin Island. Not as many, but there have been some down there. So they're opening up that zone. So there's the coastal zone, everything south of I-10, which brings in a lot of, the flats there south of on the south end of the Delta as well. So that's a new addition, the south zone. So you've got a regular, we'll call it the Delta zone. And then you now have, in addition, the coastal zone, giving you another entry into another place to enter if you wanted to hunt close to home. You got the Southeast Zone, of course, we talked about. That's Barber, Coffee, Covington, Dale, Geneva, Henry, Houston, Russell counties. And then you have West Central Zone, and then you have the Lake Eufaula Zone. So, but yeah, the breakdown, the new addition I saw, that and maybe it was in last year, but I don't think I noticed it, is that Coastal Zone, which is area south of I-10. Southwest Zone, the old traditional here in Mobile and Baldwin counties in the Delta, 100 tags. Coastal Zone, south of I-10, 50 tags. Southeast Zone, 40 tags. West Central Zone, 50 tags. Lake Eufaula Zone, 20 tags. So, you can figure out how many people enter. That's about, 150, 190, 240, 200. So 260 tags for the state of Alabama. So there's your odds, however many people put in versus that. So just some changes and some heads up there. And make sure if you have not entered, you go ahead and do that soon, because announcing on the 10th on who gets drawn on this, and that'll be the end of this year's drawing for the gator season. Now, the gator season then takes place in August, over a couple weekends in August, but the time to get in is right now. All right, coming right back, and we'll wrap it up here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. A couple things to talk about in the world of freshwater fishing, too. And we'll talk some trout fishing, because that beach bite, finally got some north winds lately. Speckled trout on the beach, can't be beat, or something like that. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along on this Saturday. Mike Ward will be back with me next week. He's on assignment, which, by the way, you got a new boat. So the assignment may be keeping that new boat on the water. I just think, hey, Mike, take me next time, man. All right, and before we wrap it up for today, a couple things on the freshwater front. I just wanted to add that I guess it was coming off the last full moon or whatever, the brim pictures. People catch a brim. We're often talking about bass fishing in the Delta when we talk to Captain Wayne Miller. And we don't get a lot of detail because he doesn't fish a lot of brim. But, man, it looks like some fantastic catches. And I don't know if it's just been a good year. The people were just on them extra hard, but some real good baskets of brim. So if you get out, I'm sure the same thing will be true on this next full moon this month. Going into it, if you can get out there and catch some of those brim. And they were catching them still in the bays, too. A lot of them in the deeper channels, and most of the bass have moved to that deeper water, and I'm sure some brim along with them, but some pretty good harvest of brim still in the bays in the south end of the Delta. So you can get out there and enjoy that. Do it, because it's a lot of fun and great eating. When you get those big bull brim, you could even get a fillet off them. It's nice when you don't have to head them and scale them. You just get the fillet. That's when you got a good brim. Also, I want to talk about on the saltwater front, the north winds over the last couple of days have given ability for people to get on the front beach down Fort Morgan, down along Dolphin Island, and do some trout fishing on the front beach. And the harbingers have been there, the sign that the trout are there. That's the shrimp boats. When the shrimp boats start coming real close to shore and dragging, it's always a sign that, you know, the trout will be right there too because the shrimp are there. And so it's although it's oddly enough, we focus on the shrimp boats to decide when we're going in there to fish, but we seem to fish mostly croakers. Now, I fish croakers on that for a couple different reasons. Number one, keeping a lot of the other species off. I mean, there are lots of catfish out there, lots of other fish, and ladyfish will eat a croaker too. And there's, you know, bluefish in there, and they'll eat a croaker too. But it seems to at least slow down the amount of non-targeted species you catch out there. So fishing croakers, but kind of watching the shrimp boats for when I decide fish the North Beach. But you got to have that north wind. You got to, well, unless you get a completely slick day, but you're, you know, you're going to be facing the waves as they break into the shoreline. So a slick day is key, and north winds often give you that. Fishing on the beach has been picking up. And then maybe it was good before, but nobody wanted to get out there with that southeast flow we had for so long. And so you get out there and enjoy that. And by the way, while we're talking about, and we've done shows in the past, and maybe we'll do them in the future, kind of how we rig up out there to do the croaker fishing on the beach. But I want to run through this because something we talked about a whole bunch about a month or two ago is coming up at the end of this month. And remember the talk about the changes for flounder and speckled trout for the limits and all that? Well, that that goes into effect August 1st. So remember, the bag and length limit changes. Here we go. You have a couple things that'll be changing for you. Number one, and this applies on flounder. It applies for the commercial harvest and with actually the closure in the month of November. Also, you have the reduction in limit here. And then on speckled trout, and we'll get to that. We'll come back to flounder in a second. Speckled trout's the one that's going to catch a lot of people if they have not been paying attention off guard. And the new slot limit. Yeah, we have a slot limit. And I know that's something that's not been a thing before in the past, but a slot limit on speckled trout from 15 to 22 inches. From 15 to 22 inches, you are allowed one over, right? So this is the change here. You have one over the 22. So 15 to 22, the minimum came up, and then we capped the top of it at 22 for the slot limit. So it's 15 to 22 inches, and the possession limit from 10 down to 6. Okay, so there are three changes. The minimum size came from 14 up to 15. Now there's a cap on top at 22 inches and a limit of 6 versus 10. So that's the pretty significant change. And if people haven't been paying attention, I mean, it's changed three different ways for your trout. Number one, not 14, can't keep 14s anymore. 15 to 22, and you can keep 6. You can have one over size fish on that. All right. Also on flounder, I mentioned the minimum size on flounder, 14 inches. So that's come up. Total length, 14 inches. And daily possession limit down to 5 per person per day. Also, commercial possession and bag limit has been decreased to 30 per person and per boat per day. So you can't have multiple people on there. So it's 30 per boat, basically, for commercial floundering. And yeah, the month of November, they're going to shut down all the keeping of flounder, because that's when they're reproducing. That's when the flounder are mating. So those are some changes, and it seemed like a long way away when we were talking about them this summer, but they're coming up August 1st. So that'll be a change. I mean, even if you don't fish speckled trout till the fall on the causeway, you're going to be dealing with those new limits. Once again, speckled trout 15 to 22 inch slot limit, and also only 6, can't keep 10. So yeah, three different changes on trout and two changes on flounder out there. We'll talk more about that before we get to the weekend of the first weekend in August. We'll get Scott Bannon from Marine Resources on to talk more about that, remind folks, but maybe remind your friends as well. That's a thing that's coming August 1st. Also, on the snapper front, it looks like, speaking of August 1st, I see no reason from our conversations we've had with Alabama Marine Resources that they will stop snapper season before the end of July. Because of the, you know, in the past we've had that worry because we're fishing towards a total tonnage, but it looks like with those weekends we had in June that were so rough that the participation went down. I know mine did. I didn't go several weekends in a row because it was too rough. Well, that's good news because we haven't exceeded the tonnage, and it looks like we'll be fishing through that last weekend in July. All right, we'll do it again next week. We'll be talking rodeo. By then, it'll be the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament coming up next weekend. I got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next. Y'all have a great one.